And we'll get into it pretty deep today, but just a couple of them again, and then next week we're going to finish up the series, and then the week after that is Christmas week, and so there's some special things God wants to do for that. So we'll press through today and see what God has for us. Let's start with some prayer. Father, we're here in your presence, Lord. We are loving you. We thank you for the work that you do in our life every day. We thank you for encouraging us, Father, when we go through the ups and downs of life, Lord. I pray that we get to that place where we're just walking in not a mundane Christianity, or not a place where it's not where we don't notice the things that are happening around us, but we get to that point in life where life is on this smooth sail, Father, and that the little bumps that come along are nothing but a gust of wind that helps push us a little further along down your path and down your road. Father, I pray that you guide us in our thoughts and our deeds, guide us in our words and our actions, guide us in every area of our life, Lord, that we may exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, let us never forget who you are, what you've done, and what our life is in Christ, Father, as we have wrapped ourselves in a robe of righteousness, received and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Father, we trust you and thank you. Lead us this morning in our word and help us to know what you want us to know. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. So let's talk about some more of the signs that we're seeing in our current day. You know, we've talked about several things that we've seen. We can look around at society. We can look within the church. Today, we're going to look at some that actually are affecting directly the church in a very strategic way. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of these things. For me, when I look at the Bible, okay, and I look at what the Bible says about things that will be present in the season leading up to the second coming of Christ, I do not get discouraged. Okay, I look and I see this stuff. I know about the shaking and some of these things that are happening. And I see that and I don't get discouraged about it at all. In fact, it's pretty much just the opposite of that. I see the things that Jesus and the early disciples warned us about in the scriptures. And I see that stuff coming to pass in our day. And I get excited. Okay, not that I like to see those. Some of them are negative things. There's some bad stuff happening. But I don't want to get into fear over those things, and I simply will just state this, that I will not get in fear over these things because the love of God is what dominates my life, not the fear, okay, of the devil. Okay, love is from God. I know that as we enter into whatever comes our way, that God loves me, right? And he is going to take care of me, that my life is his. And as long as I surrender, which I believe is our part in that, we just surrender to him every day. And as we do that, we're going to be okay. No matter what happens, we will be okay. Okay, now the Bible describes the return of Christ. Okay, many call it the second coming of Christ. It's signaled by the trumpet, okay, which is identified as an event or something that takes place after the Great Tribulation. Okay, you know, that might be shocking to some that, oh, no, we're going to be raptured out before that. And I'm going to get into that. I had it written in there and I'm going to go a different direction. But there's so much evidence that says things are going to happen in a particular order. Okay, and that order is that we're going to see some things happening before anybody gets to go be with Jesus, right? Or Jesus comes back. Okay, now, that means that we need to be prepared, okay, both mentally, okay, setting your mind, getting yourself prepared, physically, okay, being prepared for things that are going to happen or things that we know are going to happen, and especially spiritually, we have to be prepared, not giving in to seducing spirits, not yielding ourselves to false teaching, not seeking after things that are not of God. We have to be totally submitted through the spiritual Holy Spirit so that we can hear what God has for us. Now, there are some what I call telltale signs that indicate that the tribulation or tougher days for Christians are not that far off. Okay, we're already seeing it more in our country than we've ever seen. Okay, one of those signs that we'll see, that we're going to see as these days build up, the first thing we're going to see, according to Jesus, is the great falling away. Okay, where Christians are losing faith, they're stepping aside from relationship with God. Let's look at some scriptures here. I want to show you things that they're not my thoughts. I'm just relaying what is in the scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's verses 1 through 4. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, where is the temple of God? Somebody said Jerusalem first. It's right here. Okay, I am the temple of God. You as a believer, the Bible says you are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So think about that verse in relation to the son of perdition. I'm not saying it's not a physical man. I believe it'll have a huge part in the last days. I'm jumping way ahead of myself about a month in where I've studied. But think of who will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What does that mean? People will think that they are gods. Okay? They are life. Okay? They are the end, the big cheese in their life. Right? And that we are already seeing. Okay? It's happening more and more. Hearts of those who have never believed the gospel, and those that were just nominal Christians, were Christians. I'm reading a book, Margie and I are reading a book on cultural Christianity, which has been one of the most eye-opening books I've seen in a long, long time. I had a pastor recommend it, and it was something that he said, you know, out of all the books that I've read, this one really did change my thought process on what it means to be a Christian. And so I ordered it that day. I mean, instantly, I was like, well, let me look this up, and I just ordered it right there. Well, we've been reading through what a cultural Christian is and unbelievable definitions of that. I'll give it to you in a couple weeks. But it defines the Christian that so often thinks that they are, you know, they're going through the motions of Christianity, but they really are going to be that one that Jesus says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Okay, and they didn't know him. Okay, because they hadn't sought him. They were just going through the motions of Christianity, praying over their meal before they eat, or saying recited prayers or different things, and they're going through the motions of Christianity without really being hungry for God or having that intimate relationship with him. Okay, now those kind of Christians that are nominal or marginal Christians will be hardened in the days to come. It's happening right now. I see it. Okay, 28 years I've been doing this stuff. And I see it. I see what's happening in the body of Christ. Their love will grow cold, the Bible says. And those whose consciences have been seared will end up persecuting the true believers like at no other point in history. Okay, now we tend to think of the lost, the unbelievers, as the ones that are going to do all the persecuting, right? That, oh, they hate the church, they hate Christians. Okay, it's going to be other so-called Christians that are persecuting the true Christians. Okay, so prepare yourself for that. Know that that's going to be happening. Okay, and it's already taken place. It's happened before, and it's happening right now, but it's going to become more and more apparent in the days that are unfolding right as we speak. Okay, look at John chapter 16, first three verses of that. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Okay, remember when Jesus tells them at one point, and I don't have that scripture in this morning, but he tells them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Okay, if he didn't know them, it's because they didn't know Jesus. Right? Does that make sense? Somebody says, "Hey, I've never met you before." You're like, "Yeah, I've never met you either." Right? I mean, you, that's kind of where he's at. Okay, but if you notice in this verse, in verse 2, it says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues." Okay, that means out of the places of worship, out of the churches, out of the places where the people are gathering to honor and serve God, they will put you out of those places. In other words, they are in those places, right? And so they are the ones that are going to have, maybe it's self-righteousness or other things that we'll discuss that are the reasons why they're putting you out. They are so appalled by what you do that they will kill you. Okay, thinking that they're doing God's service. Now, I don't, you know, if you want to keep Ten Commandments and all that, we generally should if we're really living out our life. But what's one of the big ones in there about killing, right? Okay, thou shalt not kill. So people that are supposedly within the church are killing other Christians thinking they're doing God's service. Now, that sounds like some other religions out there, not Christianity. Okay, and so it's when they've gotten to that point, their consciences are seared, they're losing sight of the truth of God, and they're starting to think that they know better. Okay, they've got things figured out. Okay, now when people's doctrine, okay, their learning or their teaching and their works, when their works become their God, okay, they start seeing the Bible as being outdated and irrelevant. Okay. Don't really need that anymore. We've got the gist of it. Okay, they know better. Okay, and they're going to update God's word for him. Okay, that's exactly what churches are doing right now. Okay, they are saying, well, I know the Bible says, but we're going to do it this way because we want to reach more people, or because we don't want to be offensive, or we don't want people to reject us, or whatever the reason is. So they're altering what God's word says so that they can try to do something else. Maybe it meets a physical or a church or a personal need or whatever. But basically, they're telling God that your word is no longer valid, it's no longer good enough, that we are going to make something better. And now we're already seeing that, right? In churches around the world, how they divide along biblical lines. Denominations are splitting. Trevor and I and others were talking about it last week, that churches are splitting because there are those that condone sin, okay, and twist scripture to try to accommodate and justify ungodly behavior, and they shun those that are truly seeking after God and remaining and trusting and steadfast in God's holy word. The ones that want to stick to the word are considered to be the bad ones, right? And they're like, oh, you guys are too conservative. You're too wrapped up in the Bible stuff. You need to expand your horizon. You need to open your mind. Okay, and they're coming after the people that are within the church. That is exactly what I'm describing about the people within the synagogue putting out people out of the synagogue. It's like, you guys need to do your own. We're going to do it this way now. And entire splits within denominations and churches are happening. Okay, now we see it not only within churches, but we see it also within groups of friends, okay? And this will get more and more common, where there are different views that somebody sees it this way and somebody sees it this way, and so then they end up kind of parting ways, or they'll persecute each other. They'll actually criticize one another. Well, they don't believe in this, this, and this, or, well, they do this, and we can't, you know, hang out with that. And so they'll start splitting up within groups of friends. It also is going to hit families. Okay, and here's the touchy one. Okay, and I'm going to tell you twice today. I already said it once, so I'm going to say it again. I didn't write this stuff. Okay, but I'm going to show you what Jesus said regarding the last days and families. Okay, and I'll give it to you more than once. Several times he said things along this line. Jesus foretold that they that will persecute you will be of your own household. Matthew 10:34 through 36. Jesus said it this way, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Jesus warned us very plainly that these days that he said were coming, and now that they're here, okay, we see this stuff happening right now. And now that we're here, many Christians are backsliding And they're falling away because they don't understand what's happening. Jesus said it. Paul said it. Peter said it. These guys told us what was going to be happening. And yet when we see it, we're like, it can't be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. And yet they said that it was going to be. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. He said, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Okay, now I've told you a couple verses and said I'm not the one that wrote this stuff because I know that this is not a truth that many are willing to receive. Because we've all heard that blood is thicker than water, right? We've all heard the expression that family comes first. Okay, but the reality is that the family, this family, right here, look around you. This family comprised of believers that surrender their life to Jesus. This is the one that will get you through to the end. Okay, keep that in mind. Because I know we want our family, everybody does, we all do. We want them to, we're going to be one united, but there will come a time where even within families, Jesus said, there's going to be division because of Him. Some will kill you thinking they're doing God's service. The family, the body of Christ, that's why we call this the family church. It's a place where we want to unify, become one together. Okay? That's because in the last days, this family is going to bond together and be like-minded and be of one accord. And this family will be able to endure unto the end. But we have to make choices along the way. Okay, and I'm going to give you, Paul gave a great explanation of how to deal with it when things aren't, you know, family is not going the right way, or they're pulling you in a wrong direction, or they're beginning to persecute you. Okay, and he tells us kind of more of what to do. The Apostle Paul warned that these days would be coming. 2 Timothy 4:3, he said that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay, that means that they're not, it's just, you know, this is the Bible's just old, it doesn't work for me anymore, and you know, we need to move on, we need to expand, we need to include the ones that the Bible is saying we need to exclude. Okay, and we need to become more like the world and allow them to feel comfortable coming into the church rather than them repenting, getting right with God, okay, as they come in. Okay, we will help them. We know that. Okay, but there's things that people will get to that point where they don't like that, so they heap to themselves, King James language is funny there, but they heap to themselves teachers, okay, with itching ears. In other words, their ears are kind of tickling and they want something else, so they're going to go and find a different teacher or try to get somebody to lead them in that way. Okay, now this ties in with what Jesus said when he was asked about the time. Okay, they were questioning him about when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And so they're asking him about the time just prior to his return. And he again helps us to prepare and ensure that we're ready for what is to come by saying this. It's in Luke 21:12. He says, but before all these things, okay, he was talking about all the calamity and all the stuff that's happening. He says, but before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Okay, so one of the telltale signs, if you haven't figured it out yet, is the persecution of the church. Okay, when you begin to see that happening more and more, okay, you're realizing that Jesus foretold this. He said these things would be happening right before it all comes together. Okay, the persecution of the church is going to be a clear sign of the end times and the coming of our Lord to receive His bride. Okay, we're going to see more oppression against believers than we've ever seen before. Okay, including in places where not a lot of serious persecution has been taking place yet. Okay, we've been pretty blessed in America. Okay, we really have. Other countries, they're still beheading Christians. Other places, they've been doing stuff for decades already. Okay, read the Voice of the Martyrs magazine or pick up some of those things and see about persecution around the world. We've been pretty blessed here. Now we're getting, you know, made fun of on the sitcoms on TV, and you know, it's getting more. Okay, but it's going to get seriously more. Because what's happening now is that a lot of governments are legalizing sinful behaviors. Okay, and once you moralize or politicize moral behaviors, or you begin to legalize moral behaviors or immoral behaviors, okay, when you legalize sinful behaviors, they begin to persecute Christians. Okay, there's a pressure or a penalty even on Christians if they don't comply with that corresponding new law. Okay, you go along with it or else. Okay, and that type of persecution is going to become more frequent. Now, I'm telling you this not because it's something to avoid. Okay, it's not something to, you know what, I'm just going to compromise my faith a little bit so that it doesn't happen to me. Okay, it's something rather to anticipate. Okay, something to prepare yourself for, to get ready for it. It's not stuff that I look forward to, but I'm surely going to prepare my mind and my heart and definitely walking in the Spirit to be able to keep standing for Jesus Christ in the midst of no matter what comes. Okay, so that we're standing strong, standing in faith. The Bible tells us plainly that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, it was Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll read 10 through 12. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love or patience, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured." He says, "But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Okay, Paul was warning us, saying, hey, it's happened to me. It's going to happen to you if you're living godly. Okay, you compromise, live like the world, you don't get a lot of persecution. Okay, you'd have to be living in pretty extreme sin before the lost world would criticize or belittle or persecute you for being a sinner. Right? I mean, people can do it all the time, and people don't, they don't, the lost people don't persecute lost people. Okay, they just don't. They don't say that, hey, maybe you should let up on that. But when you live out your faith in God, okay, by being obedient to Him, okay, you're walking in the ways of God, you're going to rub people the wrong way just by walking in the room. Okay, the spirits get stirred up instantly when your light shines in that room. Because the light of Christ shining through you exposes their darkness. And they don't like the thought that they're out of line because they haven't surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Okay, if you know, if in their mind, if what you believe is true, then they're not only immoral and sinful, but they're on their way to hell. Okay, and not very many want to admit that. Okay, you bring conviction upon them just by walking through. Now, another sign that we're seeing a lot right now that we're going to see more and more of as the last days unfold, and maybe I should have talked about this one first, but it's because it's that people will become more and more easily offended. Okay? You ever been offended? Okay? We've all probably been offended at some point. Somebody stepped on our toes. Somebody went against us or whatever. They did it. And took credit for something we did, or whatever it was, there you get offended. Okay, well, it's a sign of the last days. It's a sign of times that are on us right now. Okay, as we enter in, there's more things that are going to happen. Okay, I believe in a tribulation and some of that, several years, and I don't think we're quite to that, but we're on the cusp of something right now because of all these signs that we're seeing. In these days, people will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Okay, and just like that other scripture we read, that they will become a god unto themselves. They will be living for self, okay, without any honor of God at all. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first four verses. He says this, he said, "This know also,
that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Okay? This is why people get offended, is because it's all about me. Okay? It's all about me. Remember the Proverbs, I've quoted it many times, only by pride cometh contention. Okay, pride is all self-preservation. It's all about me. Okay, and that leads to contention in relationships. Now, I know this is kind of a heavy message, but I did hear a funny story the other day about a psychologist. Okay, he wrote an expose for a newspaper. Okay, and he wrote it on a narcissistic opera singer. A narcissistic opera singer. And guess what he titled it? Me, 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 me. Okay. That's a good dad joke, probably. Because that's really what the root of all that. We hear narcissism, that word's thrown out a lot, but it describes what Paul is describing here. People that are lovers of self, okay, more than lovers of God or lovers of anything else, they love self. As that spirit of offense increases, the church is being directly affected by it. Describing the last days, Jesus says this, Matthew 24:10. He said, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Okay, again, signs that you shouldn't see within the true Christian believer hating one another. Right? Didn't Jesus say, "Love one another as I've loved you"? I think he's more about love than hate. So when you see people that are hateful, resentful, bitter, strife, they're critical, all that stuff that starts coming out, that they're hateful, you can recognize that this is not of God, what is happening. What you're seeing is not of Him by any way, shape, or form. You know, a major reason that people leave churches is that they've been offended in one way or another. Okay, they get their feelings hurt, or maybe somebody doesn't treat them just right, or somebody treated them wrong, or whatever it was. And even though that hurt may be very real, okay, and it is, it hurts, I get hurt all the time. It's very real, but God has called us to forgive others. Okay, not to just let them off the hook, let them keep doing it over and over again, that kind of stuff, but He has called us to forgive. Okay, even as Jesus is being hung on a cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Okay, Jesus had that forgiveness beginning to end. Okay, we need to let go of that resentment, that bitterness against them. Okay, that's not of God. It holds you back. It hurts you. Okay, when the God of self is on the shelf, there's one for you. When the God of self is on the shelf, people will continue to hold aught against each other. Okay, and that's where you're not willing to let that go because of, you know, it gives you something you're not willing to release, so you hang on to it. Taking offense and holding on to grudges is actually a sign of spiritual immaturity. It means you don't understand the ways of God, because God said, "Forgive. If you forgive not others their trespasses," Jesus said, "neither will I forgive you your trespasses." It's a serious issue, right? Again, I didn't make that up. I'm quoting what the Bible says. People get pretty offended over pretty small things. I've even seen numerous people turn from, not just from the church, but turn from their faith in Christ. Okay, to walk away from God because they got offended just one time. Had one bad meal at a restaurant and never went back, so to speak. Right? Had one bad experience with God and they never went back. Okay, they turned away and kept going the wrong way, down a wrong road. Okay, oftentimes people are just kind of critical. Okay, they're looking for things that will offend them. And, you know, I don't want to be one. I don't want any of this church or any of you to actually fulfill this prophecy that Jesus spoke when He said that many will be offended. Okay, I don't want to be offended. You know, choose to develop spiritual maturity. Don't allow that spirit of offense to rob you of your inheritance as a child of God at Christ's second coming. Okay, if somebody has hurt you, then this is the time to forgive them. Okay, not hold it, not say, I'll do it when. You know, they don't need to do anything for you to forgive them. They've already done what they did. You need to forgive that, right? And so don't wait for them to be the one that fixes it all. You be the one that stands up and says, I'm going to forgive. Release that bitterness. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that many shall be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Okay, being offended, okay, is not just talking about, you know, turning your nose up at someone who says or does something that you don't like. Okay, when Jesus said that many would be offended, he was pointing out that in the last days, many will walk away from him. They'll be offended to be a Christian. Okay, they'll be offended to walk with Jesus. Many of them will then become those who persecute the ones who truly love and serve Jesus. Nasty Christians, they'll call them. You know, all these things are already happening where people will do these kinds of things. They get upset because you do this or you don't do that. They want those that are the true remnant of Jesus Christ are going to be the ones that seek to know and to adhere to the truth of God. Okay, those who will be deceived and become offended at the things of God will be those who do not know God. Okay, and that scripture is scriptural. Let's read it. John 15:17. I've got to finish this up. Jesus said, these things I command you that you hate one another? No, he didn't say it. Jesus said, these things I command you that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Okay, Jesus said the ones that are being mean and hateful and spiteful and all that are the ones that simply don't know Jesus. They don't know God. Okay, when people make up their own ways about how to serve God instead of sticking with the perfect and complete source that's been given to us through the Holy Spirit, they're going to get off base. Okay, some people get offended. You'll be having a discussion with somebody about something. Maybe it's about long moral lines. And you'll be talking about it and you'll say something like, well, you know, God's word says, and you'll quote a scripture. Okay, and their reaction at that point is, who cares what the Bible says? I believe this. Okay, and at that moment, you know that they are stepping out. They are superseding God's word. Okay, it instantly tells you they're caught up in pride and they've been led astray by their own pride. Okay, I'll just warn you. It's not really a warning. Most of you already know this about me. But if you're in a conversation with me and you tell me that your word supersedes God's word, our conversation is pretty much over at that point. Okay, it's hard for me to even hear anymore after that. Okay, God's word supersedes. God's word is life. It is substance. It is everything that we need. We are instructed by the word of God itself to study the word so that we know how to live in this life. 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He says, don't come up with your own foolish stuff. Okay? You got to seek it in God. 2 Timothy 3:14, he said this. He says, to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, after listing out all the selfish and offensive ways of the lost and the carnal Christians, the Apostle Paul gives a sound piece of advice for handling these people. 2 Timothy 3:5, he said this. He said, "For them having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof, from such turn away." The body of Christ is going to find in the last days that those who only half-heartedly seek and worship God aren't going to make it unto the end. Right? You'll be able to start tell. You'll be able to tell. Okay, there's some that are just, they're going to get really frazzled by all the things that begin to happen. Okay, because they're not solid in their faith. Not that they can't be. God gave it to them. Matthew 7:13. Jesus said this. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. Again, Jesus' own words. How many is a few? We got, what, 8 billion people on the planet? Few usually means a few. I know that there's going to be at least 144,000, but I believe there'll be more than that. People with no true passion for Christ are going to pull you back, and they'll lead you down that wide path that Jesus just described. But with God leading our way, we can become a unified portion of the body of Christ that has not only found the narrow path, but we're actively drawing others into it. We're going to see this in 2024. I should just preach that message right now because it's right there in my head. We're going to be drawing people into the narrow road. Okay, and those that want to go down the wide road are going to be parting ways. Okay, but those that want to come into the fold and be a part of that narrow road and get on that and stay on it and go all the way to the end. I want to get to the end. I want to hear the trumpet. I want to get to that point. I want to be that one that gets to meet Him face to face. You know, you need to seek to not be offended because people criticize your righteousness that you have in Christ. The Bible says we put on a robe of righteousness. Okay? They're jealous of our robe, right? Just like they were of somebody else in the Bible. Just humbly endure the persecution that comes your way because of your faith in Christ. Jesus said this, last scripture, Matthew 5:44. He said, "But I say unto you to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." His command for us has never changed. Just love, love, and love some more. Okay, love people through this stuff. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love conquers. Love endures unto the end. If you want to make it to the end, you're going to be unified in that voice of love where Jesus said to love your brethren. Love one another as I have loved you. We've got to unify in that and stand in it. Okay? Jesus even says to love your enemies. Okay? Bless them that curse you. Amen. Father, we are praising you this morning. Father, I know that, Father, your word has so much in it that can encourage us in our walk. And Father, so much of it is like this. It just giving us clear understanding, clear warning of things that are here or happening so that we can see it and recognize it and understand it, Lord. That we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be discouraged. But our hope remains steadfast in you, that we will seek you with everything that we've got. We will humble ourselves before you. We will let go of pride. We will let go of hurts and wounds and persecutions, and we'll press into the Lord Jesus. We'll grab onto you and never let go. Say, "I will not let go of you." Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We worship and adore you. Father, let this be a house where we unite in love toward you. Father, that your glory shines in this house, that your power manifests because of your love and your goodness, your greatness. Father, we're thanking you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.